Welcome back to Funtown. This is our second episode. We're on a roll. Two in a row, baby. Listen, you can catch me and Austin and Jeff together at a comedy show. If you live anywhere near Louisville or Jeffersonville, which is kind of the same thing. Jeffersonville is just on the Indiana side of the river from Louisville, but it's an easy drive. Anywhere near that area, come to the shit Comedy by the Bridge at the NoCo Arts Center, April 11th. Two shows, April 11th. All three of us are on that show. It's a Funtown themed comedy show. And if you're anywhere around, you have a show in Elkhart, Jeff. If you're anywhere around Elkhart, Indiana, this comes out on Thursday, so his show is tomorrow.
Right.
Go see that. Austin, you got a show this weekend?
Yeah, I do a show at the Beer Brewery.
Beer Brewery.
Saturday, 8 o'clock.
In Indianapolis.
Yes.
Saturday, 8 o'clock. All those shows. Go to toddcomedy.com for my schedule. See these guys' social media for their schedule. Catch a show. We're not just funny on here. We tell jokes for a living.
Yeah. Oh, and I have the super funny David Brooks opening up for me.
Nice.
In Elkhart.
Yeah.
At the Five David's Star Comedy funny. Club.
Sweet.
Super funny.
So
I've never been there. I bet you 3 stars at the max.
You think so?
I don't know. I mean,
it's a pretty bold move to call your club 5-star comedy
like
club.
I would call mine just be 1 star.
Yeah.
1-star comedy club. That way.
Low expectations.
Low expectations. They come in. This show sucked. What'd you expect?
What'd you think we were doing here?
Jesus Christ. Just it's not like I named it the 5-star.
Just for Yelp alone. You don't want to see the name 5-star comedy club with 3 stars underneath it. You know? It's just such a, you're just asking to get killed.
Oh, damn it.
On stage by comedians. But it'll be fine. It'll be a packed show.
How often do you think that joke gets made by comics coming through? They're like, oh, this is only 3 stars. I'm going to say something.
I would hit it. Yeah. I would hit it for sure. For sure.
I thought I was being all unique and original.
Sorry, Jeff. I didn't realize I just shit on you.
I thought that was free. I'm like, hey, look at me. I made a play on words.
Sorry.
Everybody loves your Fast and Furious hat, by the way.
I know. You still have it, too.
You can
so
never lose it now. You're going to have to.
Yeah, this is your look.
Yeah.
I seriously yelled at my family tonight before I left because I couldn't find my real fucking hat, my normal hat.
Did somebody take
it? And I go, I really got to wear this fucking F8 hat out again.
I think you're going to have to wear it for quite some time, at least until the F9 hats come out. And then you can
then
upgrade.
You can upgrade to the F9.
Yeah. Only if it's free. I'm not paying for it.
By the way, it's called the Fast Saga now. It's a saga that they're calling the franchise.
Really?
That's when you know you're making tons of money.
That's when you just whatever.
When you don't have to call it a series or even a trilogy, whatever, when you're a saga. I mean, that's like what Lord of the Rings shit.
That is pretty much. Yeah, it's just an epic sweeping.
Jesus.
Like it's going to be preserved for time. I did check out the tertiary Hobbs and Shaw. I thought I would watch that one. That's Jason's. What do you mean? What? Come on. Okay, you play dumb.
Seriously.
So I can participate. That's really sweet of you to let people get involved in your hobbies here, Jeff.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Hobbs and Shaw is the ancillary movie with Jason Statham and The Rock in it.
Okay.
And it is a Jason Statham and The Rock movie. 100%.
Is this the one where one of them has their arm in a cast and they just flex out of the cast? Is that the movie?
Someone has superpowers or something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, okay, so Idris Elba, if I'm saying that right, I hope I didn't butcher that.
I think it's correct.
He is the villain, and he has, like, they don't really explain it, but he's becoming more and more robotic.
Okay.
So, we've kind of strayed pretty far from the simple, fast car against fast car.
the original, like, theme, realistic that Jeff, Fast and Furious
that captured
movies.
Jeff's heart. We've wandered completely away from that. So
I've never seen one. I don't know.
I don't know how a purist like you would feel about this. and the name is so far out there. I thought it was great. Is my wife? I went to go put it on, and she just saw it. She's sitting there, and it starts, and they're showing like Jason Statham and The Rock, and she's like, okay, but which one is Sean Hobbs? He's coming up, sweetheart. We'll be on soon.
Dude, I got to tell you guys this.
Yeah, didn't
real
you?
Quick.
Something
happened in one of my comedy shows.
He wouldn't even tell me yesterday.
No, I wouldn't
like,
save
we
it
were
for
hanging
here.
Out. He would not share this with me because he wanted to save it for the podcast.
This is horrible. This is ruining friendships.
I can't wait.
Well, I'm in Lexington at Comedy Off Broadway.
By the way, this better be fucking good. I waited 24 hours for this, so.
This better be a five-star story here.
Great weekend. Which, by the way, hey, coronavirus is a real thing. It's affecting comedy club attendance. Like, people had that have bought tickets.
Yeah.
A discerning number of people bought tickets and didn't come. And, you know, you could just assume maybe it was coronavirus related because the University of Kentucky game was earlier in the day. People actually on social media reaching out to me saying, hey, man, sorry, we bought tickets, but we're not going to be able to make it because it's coronavirus.
Hey, man, I don't care if you show up or not, as long as you bought the ticket.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care either way.
But I would love for you to be there. Just buy the ticket.
Yeah. But personally, I don't want to see you have to change your entire lifestyle and stay closed up in your house because of this coronavirus thing, but whatever you want to do. So we're all the way through the weekend almost. It's time for me to go on stage. Crowd's real hot on Saturday. Like, all right, last show. Rich Reagan's just crushed. Nice. So I'm like, all right, here we go. This crowd's hot.
Love
I
Rich.
Go up after him, and I get about 9 minutes into my set, and I see some kind of commotion to my left. So I look over, and I thought somebody knocked over a beer or something because everybody at the table kind of moved quickly at the same time. And I'm getting ready to make a joke about it or whatever. And then I see asses come up out of the seats and them like swarm to something in the middle of them. And I'm like, oh, holy shit, what's that? And I see them pull this lady off the floor, and she is white as Austin's shirt right now. Like, I'm like, ooh, that doesn't look good. So I'm like, hang on, guys. And I set the mic on the stool and like kind of walk over there, and she's having a seizure or something. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I yell, like, hey, do we have a doctor or somebody? And they're like, I'm a nurse. I'm an EMT. All these people raising their hands are running over there. And
don't raise your hand. move.
So
step to it.
I start seeing serious shit go on. I'm like, oh, my God, are they about to start CPR? Like, what in the fuck is going on? Well, she kind of comes out of it, and they get her stood up, but she's obviously affected. Like, whatever she has went through was not good. And I'm like, your first thing you think of is, you know, just drink too much. That's right. What happened. But the whole table was drinking Pepsi. Like, they weren't even drinking alcohol. So I'm like, what the fuck? So I have to get on the God mic at some point because the club manager comes up to me and goes, I don't, you know, what are we going to do? And I was like, well, do you have a God mic? And she's like, yeah. I said, let me get on the God mic. Tell them we're going to take a break. She appears to be okay now, but you have, you know, you called 911. You have emergency personnel coming. So I do. So now I'm like, well, shit. This is going to be a good little 20-minute break for a medical emergency that occurred right inside the showroom. And I still have 40 minutes left to do.
So how far were you into your set?
I was about 9 minutes
okay.
in.
I don't know. If you do the math, sounds to me like you only have 20 minutes.
I know. Well, that's what I was thinking. So I was thinking the manager would be like, you know what? Just after this is over, just get up there and thank everybody. If you want to be funny for a few minutes or whatever, and we'll give them a refund for a new show, whatever. So, but now it's like, I checked the clock. I stopped it at 9 minutes. So you only have like 41 minutes left by the time this is over. And I'm like, oh, my God. We've all done shit, you know, fundraisers after the host gets up there and goes through a slideshow of people that have died from cancer and everyone's family for 15, 20 minutes before you do comedy. But I'm like, this is a person that almost everybody thought was going to die in the showroom. And now cops are in here and EMTs with stretchers. And I'm like, Jesus Christ. So thankfully, the crowd was awesome. So I went up there and I had to massage it a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, this is a first for me. This has never happened. Like, usually when someone passes out of my show, they die. I've never had anybody live yet. So this is a first. I don't know how to deal with it. I've done lots of shows where people have died. I've never had one like go down and survive. So I don't know how we're going to handle it, but we'll get through it together. And they were awesome. Yeah.
It was that's a big hurdle to get over too.
Yeah.
Although at least they know what the delay was. Cause like you were explaining private events, different stuff like that. People love to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do your opener and then your feature. And then for some reason, we're going to take a break for 20 minutes before the headliner goes up.
Right.
And no one knows why that's going on.
No.
Yeah. At least you have something to reference.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. I had a lot to talk about. Richie Reagan comes up to me and he goes, oh my God, like I feel so bad for you right now, But this is kind of one of the greatest days of my life. I can't wait for you to get on stage to see what happens. And I'm like, oh, you motherfucker.
Just for the record, I wasn't laughing at cancer benefits.
No, it's
the... But I laughed earlier. Like, yeah. I've been in those.
Yeah. No, I mean...
Well, but, never a seizure during my show, but I've followed quite a few in memoriams.
And it's so hysterical and when your buddy's up there and you...
we'll be back with the comedian.
Yeah.
Dry your eyes.
It's one of my favorite things when you do it with a buddy and your buddy's the first one to have to follow the slideshow and you're just laughing so hard.
I don't want to do disservice to this family, but I was asked to, God damn it. This guy was apparently a fan of mine and he passed away unexpectedly. And they were doing a fundraiser for his kids and his wife to raise money. Of course, I'll drive there. I'll do your time, whatever you need. Little did I know that they were going to present the entire family with each child with a copy of a softball jersey, like framed.
Yeah.
For each of his children.
Oh, no.
I was bawling my fucking ass off. Like, I was in absolute tears. My son was like 2 or 3 years old at the time. And all I could think about was, you know, him losing me and me not being able to provide for him. And I'm just, I cry a lot anyway. I'm an old bitch. I'm okay with it. I was bawling my eyes out for a good 15 minutes. And then they go, we're going to take a 5-minute break and we'll be right back with the comedic stylings of Jeff Oskin.
And you guys might know Jeff from the softball team.
And it ended up going fine, but oh man, I'm like, how am I supposed to be funny now? I don't feel funny right now. Yeah. Like, I feel horrible for this whole family.
That is pretty brutal.
And they had like a Richard Petty fucking hood off of one of his cars for auction. I didn't even have $75 to
bet on that. They had the Petty hood out, and you didn't have any walking around money?
No, I had donated my time, so had no cash. I wonder if anybody's ever been like, yeah, I'll come and do your friend's memorial. $300, and I'm going to need a hotel.
Absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely, that's happened.
Dude,
that is absolutely comedy. You know, comedians.
You know, it has.
You know, so many people have been like, I can do your charity event $2,000-$3,000.
Yeah.
I'll do an hour.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. Inside comedy, I was doing comedy for 4 years before I realized that charity shows paid money.
Oh yeah, that's what's
like. I thought
you were just burning them up for free.
They're doing a charity show. They're donating their time.
I'll donate my time.
Yeah. You know, like you know, this comic who I look up to, they're always doing charity shows. Like, I'll donate some of my time and you know do a cancer benefit. And the guy's like, all I can give you is like $1,000. I go, wait, what? Why are you going to give me money? You're a charity. And he goes, well, we spend $1,000 on you, and then we hope, like, you know, $10,000 worth of tickets come in. So and I was like,
you don't want to talk to me about $10,000 worth of tickets.
But I was like, oh, wait. And then I thought back to all the shows I'd done for free.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, wait, I was supposed to get paid for that shit?
Yeah.
No, I donated all my time.
You should be able to write it off. You should be able to write off all the free time you do on shows.
Just for the record, I do.
You do?
Oh yeah. Every show.
It seems like you'd be able to.
I donate $50,000 worth of my time.
Oh,
that's
wow.
what I normally make a show. Uh-huh. So that's why I write off on my taxes. So
there you go.
I have a feeling I'm going to be audited next year. But
I was going to say, I don't know if the IRS will agree with that.
A lot of charity work.
It's worth a shot.
I did $1.2 million in charity work last year.
But you know how, like, comedians are, we're terrible sometimes, but, like, remember Big Jim Luger's funeral?
Yeah.
He was a comedian buddy of ours that passed away, and we went to the funeral, and he's the preacher or priest guy was trying to, like, do time up there. He was telling jokes and stuff.
A lot of people did time.
Oh, and we
it
were
got
like,
a little weird. Yeah. But it was a very nice moment, but some people did see, like, here's a room with most of the scene in it.
Yeah.
I'm gonna do 5 real quick.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was a little weird.
No, I meant the funeral.
Oh, I didn't
in
go
Cincinnati.
To that.
Cincinnati.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I thought you're never mind.
The priest was like starting to do, he was like doing a stand up bit up there. Like,
really?
I guess he thought, well, you know, this is a comedian's funeral. I got some chops. I'll just, you know, entertain the crowd a little bit. and it was not going well. He was dead. I mean, like street joking the hell out of it, but he was telling them wrong. He was getting and we were in the crowd, we were in the back, and we just, a belly laugh started, and he felt guilty, like he didn't want to see the family to see you laughing, but you're like, oh, I know Big Jim's laughing right now. I'm like, fuck. You know, we were like, somebody held up their phone, started giving the light, you know, like,
yeah, wrap it up,
you got up. 1 minute.
I bombed a funeral earlier. I feel like shit about it.
You have to, there has to be a lot of priests that were just like comedians who were really into God. They didn't get far enough along to get into stand-up comedy, but they love the attention. And
yeah.
They want people out there fucking.
How popular your church would be. You take somebody who otherwise would be like a great comedian. But they're really a servant of God in a church, like legit.
Yeah.
And their service was like a half hour set.
Yeah,
it's called working clean. That's all you're doing. You're just working clean.
Yeah.
Have you not seen Joel Osteen?
I haven't.
That guy's funny as shit. I don't know if it's intentional, but I laugh my ass off.
Yeah, he's very rich, so.
Oh, he's rich as shit. That dude is my hero.
Isn't he the guy down in Texas who didn't let people into his church when it was flooding?
Yes. Yeah. Which, fucking hilarious. That guy is a comedian.
So you're saying he's sort of taking it to that Andy Kaufman level, living the bit.
He is so good. I love this dude.
The commitment is real. Yeah, I've thought about that often because, you know, having your own church, first of all, you can get very rich. And if you get it classified as a church, is everything's tax free?
Tax free, baby.
I think owning a church sounds insane. I own a church. That's crazy.
Or I am a church. It's a church of Austin. True.
I am a church.
I think you guys would be surprised. It's easier to become a church than you probably
is it though? Because really? That was a big milestone for Scientology, wasn't it? Getting that church status. So then they're like an insane. Money shelter.
There is a street on the south side of Indianapolis that has like 22 churches, and they aren't churches. It's just people's houses that have a church sign.
That's true.
Somebody has figured out a loophole. That whole street is full of fake churches that somebody's getting taxed.
And you see them now like in different areas in strip malls and stuff. Oh, and, you know, it used to be a Payless Shoes, and now it's the Church of Randy or whatever.
And so what do you, like, you don't pay property taxes?
I know you don't pay income tax. Yeah. It's exempt from that stuff. But
do you have to get donations to your house church? Or can you just claim your income? I don't know Lowe's exactly how made a donation to the Church of Todd.
I think all your money is either through selling merch and shit like that or through donations. And I just think that you don't have to pay sales tax on any of that stuff. So, and you don't have to pay income tax.
Did you say merch?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Church merch?
Church merch.
Church merch.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is church merch?
Yeah, maybe it's a little bobblehead of you, the preacher guy that's in charge of the church, whatever you want to sell.
Dude, fucking Nativity, where I went to school, all about the church merch. Yeah. Like, I went to my niece's volleyball game. Every parent wearing Nativity hoodies, wearing Nativity fucking zip-up starters.
Were they cool? Wait,
probably not starters.
No. I mean, I know it's church merch, but was it church merch?
Mine would be really cool.
It was, you know, the colors of Nativity and their logo. But yeah, I was like, it was like,
Nativity like a school, not the Nativity
Catholic
scene.
Catholic church.
Okay.
Which also happens to be a school and a scene. All in one.
All in one.
All in one.
And a manger scene. Yes.
Which, surprisingly enough, we never had a very impressive manger scene for being
really,
called Nativity.
Just couldn't pull it together.
When you're Nativity, you have to have the best scene.
It was too much pressure.
It wasn't horrible, but it by no means was have you guys seen Nativity's manger scene? Holy shit.
It's like the Catholic school version of the five-star comedy clubs. It's like, we got to do...
Isn't our church like named after the night Christ was born?
What do you mean we're not doing a Nativity scene this year, Carl? I didn't even think about it.
Like little plastic, knights of an armor, whatever.
Knights in armor.
Kings. The three kings, the three knights.
What year do you think Jesus was born? Well, I'm gonna give you the first one. First year.
You're thinking of Merlin. That was Jesus. Yeah. That was Merlin. They had similar powers.
All my bearded.
Here at the Church of Jeff, we worship Merlin every day. Did you pray to all the knights of the round table?
Yes, everyone.
Before bed, honey? Yeah. Very good. We'll go change the light bulbs in the church sign. I'll be up front.
Are scholar, or I thought about this the other day, are roller skating rinks still around?
Yes.
Do people still do that?
Yeah.
Now, roller church, I think you could sell.
That's what I was thinking. If you had it all in one, so in between like days where you have service, Sunday morning, Wednesday nights, whatever your religion does, and then you're open for open skate, you know, if you're in, you're making money that way, and then you could also write that off. Maybe you integrated in with worship somehow.
Yep.
You would really crush it.
You get a guy in the middle, DJ station, doing a sermon. Everyone's sort of swirling around him.
Oh, God. There you go. That's all you got to do.
You could do that.
My son.
Maybe you can do a communion. It's with the limbo. You got to go under the stick, and then I drop the wafer in your mouth.
And then they drop the wafer in your mouth. Yep. My son had a birthday party, skating party that... his mom booked, because I would never fucking do anything like that for him.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, let's shut down a whole skating rink so some
for your party
5-year-old can bring his four friends.
Oh, he was skate. 5?
I don't know. He was fucking young enough he cared.
Plus, one kid is going to chip his tooth. You know what I mean? Oh. It's going to happen, and you're going to feel responsible.
I am, and if you throw your kids kick-ass birthday parties, fucking kudos. Fucking my birthday parties growing up, you got a cake and maybe grandma came by.
Yeah.
Like that was the end of it. My parents weren't renting shit.
Yeah.
They weren't bounce housing the fuck out of
stuff.
Well,
I think there were renting no
llamas.
Stuff. Yeah.
Like
that's new. When I was a kid, they didn't rent a place. You just had this task of being two parents taking like 12 kids to Chuck E. Cheese amongst other groups of Chuck E. Cheese.
Oh, really?
Parties. Yeah.
We usually just had sleepovers. Like you were allowed two friends over.
Yeah.
Sleepover.
Two.
Yeah. We had a small house.
Yeah. Exactly. You're all in the living room.
One time we slept, instead of like camping out or whatever, we slept in my mom and dad's station wagon. We just laid down that seat, and that's where we slept for the night.
As a kid, though, that'd be awesome.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. It was pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, my one friend got sick, and he threw up, he ran. He was about half a mile. He was probably my closest neighbor. He's like a half mile away. And he just got up and he ran, and he was in his underwear, ran home. Like he was a really good runner, and he just took off like a bolt of lightning. And all you could see was his little white dot just bouncing up down the Vandalia Road. The coronavirus, dude. All right, so I guess people are freaking out in the comedy club industry a little bit. I mean,
it makes sense,
the rational
though.
Ones are like, let's, you know, those things come and then they go away real fast. But like there's some concern, like people are not going out around large groups of people right now, and it's going to really, they're going to take a little hit.
Well, and I don't think most regular people understand that a lot of comedy clubs are not these huge money-making endeavors. It's usually something that this is a guy that loves comedy and is able to make this club work and self-sustain. But, I mean, who knows how long this could go on for? If you have four unexpected light months out of a year, I mean, that's business ending type stuff.
When we had Morty's, it was week to week for a very long time. And you had a few bad ones in a row. It
no good.
Took a dent.
Dude, they canceled South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And as
but
I was
Todd saying, still had his show.
As I was saying earlier.
Who's bigger?
Like, how is fucking Christy or Crystal or fucking Laughing Llama, where's she gonna unload all her fucking dream catchers at?
That's true.
Like we think about the hotels losing money and the clubs, but what about the dude rolling the burritos in the back of his hatchback?
Those turquoise bracelets aren't gonna move themselves.
How's he gonna heat his yurt this week? This winter he's losing out on a South by. I bet you that's the majority of a lot of people's like, oh, I made 9,000, you know, fucking paper drafts that I sell out the back of my car. And that's how I pay for the rest of my fucking year.
Yeah, face painters are going to go hungry this year for sure.
They are. Yeah. You know.
Unless they paint a fucking mask on your face.
Yeah.
See, the number one request. Do you do a lot of lions? No, mainly masks.
Mainly masks.
They're going to ask people to shave their beards and facial hair and all this stuff because it collects germs or whatever. And you can't wear the mask if you have that on or whatever.
You can't touch your body hair at all. You're just not supposed to touch your face.
You're gonna have to shave your balls.
I know.
Which I already do.
I know.
I already do. Because we have the best equipment for that now. The Lawnmower 3.0 through Manscaped. Yeah. First official sponsor of Fun Town is Manscaped. Not you couldn't find a better first official sponsor of Fun Town.
We're all in.
Than the greatest tool ever invented to shave your balls.
And with this hairy group of motherfuckers.
We are some hairy motherfuckers, too. Yeah, we need it.
A lot
we
of body hair going on, for sure.
Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. The engineering team there spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. I think I remember telling you guys a while back, I was like, listen, no one's ever going to be able to improve on the Lawnmower 2.0. I mean, it's done. There will be no generation after the 2.0. I was wrong. They made it even better. The third generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. No more blood in my shower. This stopped with Manscaped, period. But before that,
watch out. A lot of blood in the shower.
Watch out. Yeah. A lot of bleeding in the shower. I was not a good shaver. I was not a good ball trimmer. But now this is dummy proof. Like I have a shaky hand, too much caffeine.
And the light.
And it has the light, LED.
The light's
light.
Actually pretty exactly big for me.
The light.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Millions of balls are about to be nick-free thanks to Manscaped's advanced skin-safe technology. Manscaped accidents are finally a thing of the past. And when I tell you this is premium, I mean it's premium. The battery will last up to 90 minutes, so you can take a longer shave. Not only that, it's several uses. I haven't even charged this thing yet. I've already shaved my balls, I don't know, a dozen times. I like it. I like it smooth.
No, I know.
I like it smooth. I don't like stubble.
It's that Marine Corps regiment built in you.
I got a high and tight going
up,
on down
touch
there.
Touch them up every day.
One of the coolest features, as we discussed, is the LED light, which illuminates grooming areas for a closer and more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with quiet stroke technology. You're not going to wake anybody up by doing this. If your lady's asleep, Austin, while you're trimming your balls.
My baby was sleeping right next to me. Right next to me, but close.
What?
Close, right on the other side. Bathroom. Okay,
I was just saying, do you make your child sleep in the bathtub?
No, it's just the bathroom's right next to the bedroom. And, I mean, he had no idea I was in there.
Nice. He didn't know what was going on. And let's not forget about the charging stand. Show your mower off loud and proud because an intelligently designed stand is a rapid charging dock powered by USB. You don't need an outlet. You can do it in your car, off your laptop, wherever you got a new USB port. If you're listening to me speak right now, you are one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product, and I want you to experience it firsthand for yourself. Trim that junk of yours. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FUNTOWN. At manscaped.com. Your balls are going to thank you. I promise. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code FUNTOWN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code FUNTOWN. I do love that thing.
Yeah. No, it's very effective and work. I mean,
it's fancy.
Yeah.
It's fancy enough. I almost don't want to keep it in the case they provide. I want to buy one of those shadow boxes, like a glass case, and keep it on my fireplace mantle there. And
get it signed.
Uh-huh. So people can see it when they come in. They're like, how much money does this
It does have a very quality feel. Like when you open an iPhone, it has that same sort of like, ooh, I'm getting into something nice here. Very well made.
And it is. But speaking of coronavirus, this is how bad it is. You talked about South by Southwest being canceled. Ireland is considered canceling their National St. Patrick's Day parade. Because of it. Now, shit has hit the fan when Ireland decides they might have to cancel their national St. Patrick's Day. They are St. Patrick's Day. How does this happen?
I don't know. I mean, are there a lot of spitting in Ireland or anything? I mean, what are they doing?
People in Ireland aren't scared of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They'll just drink some whiskey. They get meaner. They're not scared of shit.
And I wonder if they like that stereotype. I wonder if they're just like...
There's no denying it. I'm pretty Irish, and it's true.
Yeah.
It's true. We're all that way. So I don't think that we're going to see it loosen up anytime in the immediate future.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how long it can go for. Because, I mean, I know that they said it's big incubation period. That's when everyone's transferring it. It takes a long time to go away. I mean, is it going to be months? Is this going to be
I bet
weeks?
It's well into this year. Okay, we go to fall.
Into the summer.
I think they said once it gets hot, once it gets hotter out, that's supposed to put the damper on it.
Oh, it doesn't spread as easily then?
Yeah.
Can't survive in the air as easy?
Supposedly.
That's right.
There we go.
I think we're making a little bit of maybe going a little bit overboard.
Fuck yeah, we are.
Yeah. Like
16 million fucking Italians. 16 million of them quarantined right now. 16 Come million.
Yep. It's like the Brad Pitt movie with the zombies.
Oh, World War Z?
World War Z. It's like that. They got camps set up, quarantining people. Yeah, I mean, what are we doing?
Think of how much gravy is getting made right now.
Oh.
What'd you do? I've been making gravy.
Well, I think Amazon and eBay banned people from trying to jack up the prices on their masks. I mean, how much of a piece of shit do you have to be? I'm going to sell these
masks.
They
aren't too high. I got one for each one. I got five last week, and they were $11,000 a piece.
Yeah. that's not bad.
That's not bad.
No, I thought they'd be worse than that.
And, I mean, you got to figure with the church write-off, you should be good.
I got in early.
You got in early.
At the Church of Noncommunicable Diseases.
I know someone who we all know, but I will rename nameless, just bought a bunch of masks, $250 a piece.
What?
$250.
Are these like ones with the big filters in them and stuff?
No, they're just the blue ones, but there's a specific number that they heard was the only one that really stops it.
That really blocks it.
Which, by the way, it only stops it if you have it and you're wearing the mask.
Oh, it stops you from spreading it.
Right. You can wear a mask. You still get it. It only stops you from spreading it, not you from getting it.
See, I think that makes it almost more noble then. You just spent $250 to make sure you're not going to give it to somebody else.
If I have it, I don't care who in the hell else gets it. You know what I mean? But I've got it.
Classic
it's over.
Talk.
Yeah. Everybody needs it now.
Yeah. But it's getting a little... closed a whole school district here in our town.
I know, because today, one or two kids?
Yeah, one kid tested positive. Which, by the way, that's good. I got plenty of fucking just take a couple weeks off work days where they're just going to pay me for the fuck of it.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it would
like,
be nice.
No. Like, what are people going to do? I mean, your kid is home for 3 weeks because they're quarantined.
Yeah.
And you can't go into Maytag that day. Like, they are going to be
true.
Like, oh, we're going to go ahead and pay you for those 3 weeks.
Right.
No, they aren't.
Yeah, there's
they
no way.
They're going to pay you shit.
You're going to have to get, now you're out $1,000 a week for daycare, whatever it costs now, because it's outrageous.
Oh, yeah. Try calling your bank. Oh, well, my kid had the corona, so I couldn't work all month. They're like, oh, okay, we won't foreclose for 15 days instead of 10.
Our foreclosure guy's got the coronavirus, but as soon as he gets back, we're going to take your home.
Yeah, we're going to take your fucking house.
So I think daycare providers must make more than college professors.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not teaching shit. They're just keeping kids from biting each other.
Dude.
And they make jack.
And if you don't bring your kid, they still get paid.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Some of them do that by the minute that you're late, you get billed. I mean, literally by the minute.
What are they, psychiatrists?
In their defense, my son went to inner city daycare. But at a church, like, I trust the people. I was wrong. But
what is this, three-bedroom, two-bath church?
No,
what
this is like 40 or 50 kids.
Okay.
They 6 o'clock is the pickup time.
Like,
after 6, they're going home. These people have been there since 5 o'clock in the morning.
There's no being late.
I'll pick my kid up at exactly 6 o'clock. There are still 25 kids there.
Really?
You cannot tell me that 25 parents rolled in the next 30 seconds.
Yeah, to get their kids.
It got to the point where we had to sign a letter that if you're 15 minutes after 6 o'clock, the kids are, CPS is getting called. If you haven't contacted us by 6:15 and your kid's still here,
we're calling CPS.
Coming. Yeah.
Some of those parents, though, are probably like, well, CPS is free.
Dude, the problem is there were a lot of kids in this free daycare whose parents didn't work. They would get up at 5:30 in the morning, drop their kids off, go back to sleep, hang out all day, and then come
at
6:30 and go get their kid.
Yeah, they didn't feel like being parents during the day.
Yeah.
Come on.
So I have the daycare people... mad respect.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah.
It's not an easy job.
Like, there are parents out there who take advantage of it, and that's why you have, for every minute late, it's $10 more. Because fucking Jimmy's dad, well, I'm so important, I have an important meeting. I don't give a fuck that 4 adults had to change their whole lives, and they have families, and they're home waiting for dinner. I'm important.
I was closing a major deal.
Yeah. They don't give a fuck. They're hungry. Their kids are at home. They want to see their mom. Fucking come and pick your goddamn kid up.
Jesus. My mom was a daycare worker for a long time. She worked at KinderCare, the chain in Kentucky. And man, some of those parents, like she would come home and just be like, I'm just ready to start punching people in the face. Like, they're just the worst parents. And like, their kids would latch on to her really hard because they're like, oh, I didn't know what a hug was. You know what I mean? Like,
you have some sort of regard for me. This is all
exactly.
New.
Speaking of which, I don't know about the new little segment we have, but I vote for this person. There was a daycare worker 2 weeks ago whose mom, the child, was not sent diapers.
Yeah.
And so the daycare worker took a Sharpie and wrote on the baby's stomach, Mom, I need more diapers. And the mom found it when she got home to change her kid. I think that daycare worker, dickbag of the week or whatever we're calling it.
We don't know what to name this segment yet.
I kind of like dickbag.
I like dickbag. Maybe dick bag of the week.
Whatever. I just think it's funny writing on a baby.
I mean, I know.
As hilarious. Somebody who has a little kid, I understand people are overly defensive of them in that they think everyone needs to treat them like they're precious. But at home, my kid will fall and hit his head on the coffee table, and I'm like, oh, get up, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you do the thing where you're like, oh, if I laugh, they won't be hurt?
No,
right now.
I sort of go. I freeze like he's a T-Rex. Hope like if the room doesn't change at all, he's just going to go on with his day. So that's my method.
Actually, when you said that, it just dawned on me that probably kids write on themselves all the time.
Oh
with
yeah,
marker,
yeah.
And it's no big damn deal. So
but it was probably really good handwriting though.
Oh, I know. Like,
All right.
Lady. Yeah, now had the
daycare
worker.
Oh my gosh, he's writing.
Written it like it was him.
Yeah.
Like, made
at least
some
write it with your
backwards.
Offhand. Yeah.
You know, make
upside
a few
down.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Mommy, I need diapers. Wow, he's really advanced.
My dickbag of the week is a dude in Florida that tried to walk out of the grocery store with 2 pounds of potatoes and a fillet of grouper without paying for them. And when loss prevention stopped him, he badged them, said he was a deputy U.S. Marshal, so he didn't have to pay for those groceries. So they call the police, fake badge, obviously, not a cop. So he goes to jail for impersonating a federal agent. And first of all, I'm like, what makes you think that was going to work? Deputy U.S. Marshals don't get free food. They don't get free groceries.
Like maybe at McDonald's he could have gotten a cup of coffee.
50% off his
fry. Well, I think he was
order.
Trying to big dog, as you called it, loss prevention.
Yeah.
That's the most amount of respect I've ever heard given to a grocery store security guard ever. But I think he saw, okay, you're clearly in loss prevention.
Uh-huh.
You're running the show here. I'm going to get out my U.S. Marshals badge and just one-up you.
I have a federal witness protection person out there. They're really hungry. I have to feed them these 2 pounds of potatoes.
I'm feeding a really key
fat
witness.
Really fat witness to testified against the mafia.
This guy knows where Crota came from.
Yeah. And I'm like, what was he making? Two pounds of potatoes and a fillet of grouper. What kind of meal were you preparing, Jeff? I don't
really,
know what you... What...
Really like a mashed potato.
Maybe that was it. A lot of mashed potatoes and then a little bit of fish. Maybe that was it. I don't know. I was thinking...
crazy.
That's not a recipe I've ever seen before.
No.
Grouper and potatoes.
Well, but you got to remember, this is a guy... that is not actually a U.S. Marshal.
True.
He's just willing to lie to it. This is a crazy person's meal.
Yeah.
That's what this is. This is not, he's not plating stuff. He's not having company over. He's probably going to serve it up to like 8 mannequins sitting around a dinner table. And then he's going to make his dogs eat it.
Oh,
and that's
gosh.
It.
So good.
This isn't a normal person. That's why, because mine... This is why, because my guy isn't necessarily a dick. He's just a weirdo.
Okay.
And so mine is in New Hampshire. A police chief was stripped of his duties at the local board meeting. And
this is great.
And when.
Wait, start again.
Okay, so.
Did I hear that correctly?
In New Hampshire, this guy, a police chief of a local town.
Yeah.
Was stripped of his duties at a local board meeting.
Right.
They decided we're such a small town, we're going to let the local larger city absorb us for police protection.
Okay. He's the only officer left in this town.
Oh, yes. Boy. Well, but here's the deal. That is true. The entire police force for this town, because it's so small, was just one guy. He would have said, well, I'll be a chief instead of just guy with gun.
I'm not going to be just a patrol officer.
I can't just be cop Brad.
I'm going to be the chief of police. That's my one-man department.
So he gets relieved of his duties, say, we don't need you anymore, by a board.
Uh-huh.
And this guy, in the moment, strips off his clothes, takes off everything, puts his boots back on, and goes walking out in his little skivvies, sort of Todd Sleepover style. He goes out in his underwear and his boots into a snowstorm. And he walked for a mile before his wife picked him up. Now, this is some OK Boomer pride.
Some real OK Boomer pride.
And
has he never watched the cop movie? You're supposed to just slam your badge and gun on the desk and be like, I'm quit. I'm out of here.
When asked why he did this, he said he didn't want to be accused of stealing
right.
in the uniform. So you know there's some bad blood here. Yeah. And by the way, this board is three dudes. That's it. That's how big this town is. And I'm sorry.
Barbershop owner.
Right. Yeah.
Three-man local board does not trump guy with gun. I'm sorry. No. It just doesn't. You need more people than that to fire me. I think I'm going to stay on.
I would never want to live in a town that small.
I could picture was his wife driving next to him as he's walking down the road. And she's like, how was work? He's like, why don't you get in the car?
Gail, just let me get my steps in and I'll be home.
It's freezing out there. Just get in the car.
I made potato grouper.
By the way, his mom's also the town's hospital. It's just her. I'm the whole hospital.
This is insane. This guy, but I mean, that is sort of that defiance. You don't see that a lot anymore.
No.
It's just, oh yeah? Oh, you fired me? Well, here's your uniform back. No, it's fine. It's fine. I'm walking into a snowstorm nude.
I would love to see that at like Outback with my waiter.
Yeah.
He just goes walks by.
Takes off the fucking lapels.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Throws my shirt down and the blue jeans and just walks out in his fucking kicks and his tidy whities. I would love that.
I've been fired. I don't want anyone to accuse me of stealing.
I'd chase him down and give him a bigger tip. I'd be like, here you go. You're my hero now, sir.
Well, whatever that segment is. Dick bags and weirdos. We'll come up with it.
We'll take names.
Yeah, maybe you let us know what this. It's going to be all about fucking idiots, fucking douchebags or dick bags, and fucking so bad people, idiots, and really weird fucking people.
Speaking of that, did you guys see the video that was going around last week of the guy who was at the salad bar at like a Kroger? And he was just drinking soup out of the ladle.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Are you serious now?
Oh, I'm dead serious. And the best part was he looked like he was in like fucking some North Face. Like he didn't look like a homeless guy.
People do this. I've seen this twice at the. I've seen this twice. I live very close to a grocery store. I'm not even sure if I should say which one it is, but I'm sure it's going to be a hotbed for Corona at this rate. But I've seen twice, like just regular middle-aged women. Taste the hot bar with whatever. There is a little bit of mashed potatoes.
Really?
I'm gonna
dip right in there.
Like, just dip right in.
With a separate spoon?
No, with the serving spoon. I've seen it twice.
Jesus Christ.
And what were they going after?
So one was trying mashed potatoes, and the other one was going after like a...
I just don't like lumps.
Like an orange pasty looking stuff, which might have been... It could have been Indian food. I don't know.
Oh, it's not that... the spirally, like, Italian pasta salad?
That might have been what it was.
I think it's, well, it's usually hot, at a grocery store.
It was hot, though, so maybe it was something else.
Man.
Yeah.
Straight off the spoon.
What
did you do?
Right off the big spoon. What I did was stare from about 25 feet away near the chips. Like, are you kidding me?
I would have called her out. I would not have been able to stop.
I'm not going to talk to that woman.
I would have been like, what are you doing?
Oh! Oh, my God. I wish we had that on video.
I feel like I just saw such a representative of the two different
worlds. And that's what I would want her to do.
You guys
to
come
drop
from.
The spoon, spill the pasta. And I would be like, just go. Just get out. Don't even look at your cart. Just leave.
This is an audio medium. Basically, Todd just did his cop scream, and Jeff jumped back like Todd found the aider in his pocket right now. Dude,
it knocked my headphones off. Jesus. That's the most scared I've been in the last 2 years. Oh, my God. You scared the shit out of me.
We should do a haunted house with just nothing but your retired cop friends.
Right.
And just people walk in. They'll just be like, hey, what are you guys doing here? It's all just the waiting room to get into the haunted house while retired former cops
imply that
they know you have drugs on you.
We put weed in your pocket first before you go in there. Well, we asked for some listener questions, and you guys came in strong. You came in hot. We got some good questions. We're going to do two right now. So Maybe I should put some intros together for these in the future. We're new. This is new. We're just testing them out.
It's just we're flowing but in it.
For
we're
right now, here, hit me with something.
Let's try this one. Oh, no.
That's our the Corona alarm.
Perfect. I love it. There, how about that?
Question number one comes from at Evilborn. Nice fucking handle.
I like it.
At Evilborn.
Yeah. Pretty solid.
Pretty solid.
Son of Satan.
He asks, what's the nerdiest thing you guys are into?
I mean, I got the shirt on.
I had a feeling you yeah. were going to dominate this question.
Yeah.
You were into some shit.
Yeah. I love playing D&D.
You
Dungeons like, and
still,
Dragons.
To this day. Do you have a group of friends?
I didn't start till I was an adult.
Really?
Yeah.
I did a lot when I was a kid.
A lot. You played D&D, Todd?
Oh, yeah. We played it. That was hardcore. Because yeah. that was a great game that didn't involve like electronics and shit that we didn't have.
And there's just dice. There's no winning, really. I mean, you can win, but it's just sort of like no one... It's not competitive, uh-huh. really, unless you're playing with, like, an asshole
right.
who's weird. And by the way, it's just like any other thing. Like, there's a guy who's way too into it, and then there's people who aren't into it enough. Right. You know? So, I mean, it
they're
correlates.
They're just there for the weed.
Yeah, they're just exactly. Well, like, a lot of comics play D&D.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of them do.
I had no idea.
Do any yeah. good ones, though?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Bill Burr doesn't play D&D.
Oh, you don't know that. He just did Star Wars.
You're right.
Star Wars.
I know. How cool was that?
Yeah, that was
I'm watching
cool.
that with my kids, and I go, holy shit, is that Bill Burr?
Bill Burr.
And amazing.
They're like, what? And yeah. I go, that guy's yeah. a stand-up comedian. They're like, how come you aren't in the fucking Star Wars movie?
Yeah, no, it's huge now, though. It's better than it's ever been, too, I think.
I've heard that there's whole, like, communities, like it's a big deal.
It's resurgent for sure. Yeah. And there's a whole website now, D&D Beyond, that helps you do all the math for the character, which I think is very yes. intimidating to people. And
yeah,
you can
that's
reference.
Why I stopped doing it.
You can look up any rule and pull it up right away, because then some people get into, you know, they're all about the rules. They right. just love how many rules there are. And
see, that was what turned me off when I was a kid. My cousin knew everything, so yeah. he would just spoon feed me everything I needed to know. I'd be like, all right, did that spell work or whatever? And he's like, yeah. And he would tell me why. Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't have to really know anything. Once I figured out that to do it with other people, I was really going to have to study my ass off.
Yeah.
If I can learn.
Does it not look like a jackass?
Not getting
I hope I don't look like a nerd at the D&D table. Dad, put the glove away. I can't play catch right now. I got to study my spell.
My kids for Christmas, they listen to D&D podcasts.
Yeah, there's D&D podcasts.
But they don't play D&D.
Yeah.
They want to. So I went to like a nerd store and found like the dorkiest kid working. I was like, hey, my kids want to get in D&D. I want to get them everything they need to start playing D&D. And he's like, oh, yeah, here. And he gave me some books, and he gave me some dice. And mm-hmm. I got, like, different sets for you need this for this.
You can spend a lot of money on
dude,
that.
Dude,
you can...
$290 goddamn dollars.
Yeah,
and
real
my
quick.
Kids still haven't played 1 second of goddamn Dungeons & Dragons. They're like, here, help us out. I'm like, here's what I want. I want to hire an Austin to come over and lead a 4-hour campaign.
There are
my
people
kids.
That do this.
So are they called moderators?
No, they're called specific to D&D. It's called a dungeon master.
That's right.
Now,
I knew that.
If you don't play the D&D brand per se, and you play some other form of same type of RPG role playing game, you're called a game master.
Okay.
Generally.
Okay.
But yeah, there's people
Dungeon
that,
Master's trademarked. You can't fucking use that on any other game.
I don't know if it is or not.
I bet
because
you it is.
Everything got tossed up in the air, like I think in the 80s at some point, because uh-huh. there's different versions. And at one point, there was like a split, and some intellectual properties went one way, and other people retained rights. So you might be able to do something with it. I mean, I see Dungeon Master on stuff all the time, so I don't think it's copy.
Well, I'd heard that it was, I'd heard rumors that it was still around, but I didn't know to that scale necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, there's actually a place up by my house that's a gigantic game place where they have, 40 tables, and people are
really?
Playing on every table, and you can rent different games.
Yeah, those places are real. It's like... can't remember the name of it, but it's like
Game Fest or
yeah.
something like that, or
you
family
go in there,
family games.
You
can
buy this pay by the hour for your however many,
or you can get a
party.
Membership or whatever,
yeah.
and you go in there and you can just take a game down and play it. And
see, I would also make mine a church It would be the Church of Dungeons and Dragons. Yeah. And then I would be the Dungeon Master Priest.
That's a good idea. You're going to start out with some zealots, Todd. I think you better have a cap on that or it's going to go Fight Club on you real quick. You guys are going to be blowing up rival game stores and stuff.
What's the nerdiest shit you're into, Jeff?
We can go back to Austin for more nerdy shit. Like, my nerdy shit is like fucking like watching 2,000 hours of 9/11 conspiracy videos.
Oh, that's
like,
nerdy. That's my, I love that.
Yeah, that's like super nerdy.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
That's, see, you can really a group of it. That's a solitary thing that you're doing there. That's,
oh, yeah. I don't want anyone to be you don't want anyone there. It's after my girlfriend's passed out for the night.
Okay.
Feeling alone. And
so you believe it was an inside job, right? 9/11?
No.
I enjoy the conspiracies. Like, they're interesting when you read them.
I think there's some weird shit that went down. I think, like, inside, like, that's a little much.
But yeah.
I think that probably there's a lot of shit we don't know.
Yeah.
That
I think I think the craziest one I've heard is links JonBenet Ramsey to 9/11 via her dad's role as being part of the process to maintain continuity of government.
I've been saying this the whole time.
Yeah.
No, I'm lying. This is the first time I've ever heard this.
Now, yeah, another crazy 4 hours of research.
So the deal is,
tonight.
I'm sorry to do this to you, Jeff. I hope you see your family this week.
I love it.
But yeah, the idea is that he was involved in a program that was used in an event of emergency to keep continuity of government going so everything can run smoothly and the people that have to issue orders can in the event of a disaster. And apparently he found out about the plan for 9/11 had been in the works, and so they thought he wasn't going to be compliant. And
so they murdered his daughter to make sure he would go along with it.
And then what? Like,
it really spins out at the end there. It's kind of like, well, you already killed her, so I'm gonna tell everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe they knew he liked his son better or something. They're like, your son will be next.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that little motherfucker's who killed his sister.
A lot of people think that.
Yeah. That dude's a shit-smearing weirdo. I don't care what you say. Yep. Any kid who's like, oh, I want more pineapple than milk, mummy, you're a fucking weirdo.
Yep.
Like, you're smearing shit on your sister's toys. Whether or not you murdered her, you're a fucking weirdo.
I bet every time somebody didn't go his way, stripped down, walking the snowstorm.
You know he did.
Yeah.
He's so that
He's
dude.
Like, well, if I'm not going to get my way, here's my clothing.
And here's a shit stain on the door on the way.
Except he's doing it as a dungeon master, not a police chief. He'll get up and leave this game and walk out in this blizzard right now. Because they lived in Denver, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. What about you?
The blizzard coming.
I think it was Boulder.
Boulder, you're right. Wow. It was Boulder.
What about you? What's the nerdiest shit you're into?
I'm kind of like you. Like, normally I wouldn't consider it normally, but then I took a second and viewed it from the outside perspective. I'm like, oh, it's pretty. Because I am all about the paranormal. Like, fucking ghost hunting and paranormal investigations. Really? Like, I am such a believer.
Have you gone out on any?
Yeah, I went on a real ghost hunt 2 or 3 Halloweens ago. Like, all the Heartland Radio guys, we booked it through a real ghost hunter. He was a guest on the show, and then we were like, will you take us on one for Halloween? And so we booked it, a place in Newcastle, Indiana, which has been on all the big ghost hunting shows. And so it's a legit place. Well, I mean, at least it's well-known. So we go through there, dude, and I thought I would be scared, to be honest. I was not. I was excited. And we're walking around now with other people. If I was by myself, I'd probably be shitting myself a little bit. But I'm not kidding. There was... I was the one talking, and I would be like, if you're in here, give us a sign that you're here. Make a sound or something. And this is all on video, by the way. It's somewhere on YouTube somewhere, but it sounded like someone throwing a rock against the drywall. But it would always be like we were upstairs, and it sounded like it was coming from a room downstairs.
Yeah.
So immediately I'm thinking, all right, they've got something set up in here maybe, you know. All
right. Guy with a bucket of rocks.
I'm like, everybody stop. Find the other guy that's with this guy. And he was back in a room recording whatever. So I'm like, all right, weird. This is a weird sound, but it's always happening far away. Finally, we get up to a little girl's room upstairs. And I'm like, same thing. I'm like, if you're in here now, make a sound. Let us know you're here. Wham, louder than fuck, sound like somebody threw a rock, hit the drywall. And not only that, it bounced off the wall. Like, you could hear this whole sound bounce off the wall as if a rock had hit the wood floor and just tick, 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 and then came to rest right underneath our cameraman's feet, to the point we're not seeing anything yet because we're just caught off guard by shock, and we're in shock. And he is panicking. He jumped like a motherfucker. It's like, what the fuck? And he's lifting his feet up because it sounded like it was right
under. Yeah, because he's standing on a little girl ghost.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And we're like, holy shit, what was that? And the other camera guy is capturing it, and there's nothing there, nothing we could see. And I'm like, this is fucking weird. So then we go.
So you didn't see a rock?
No, nothing. Nothing. I thought something could have fell from the ceiling, like a piece of drywall or something.
It could have been played on a speaker.
Right? But, I mean, literally, like, it moved. You know what I mean? Like, surround sound. The only way I can describe it is if you really did that while you're in the room with the rock, that's exactly what it sounded like.
Yeah, but there was no rock.
But no rock. But to the point, the cameraman loses his shit and jumps. Oh, man. And we're looking. We all look at the same place at the same time. Like, that just sounded like somebody threw a rock there. So then we're like, well, that's weird. Really nothing else happens except the EMF detector, the electronic magnetic field detector. We found a hot spot or two. And so we go back, and when the video editor's editing all the footage, he comes running in and grabs us. He goes, guys, come here. You're not going to fucking believe this. And I'm like, oh, shit, what do we got? He goes in there. At one point, we're sitting in the living room, just all pick a chair, and we're just talking, trying to get it to do something or answer questions. And then we set the recorder on top of this old TV they have there. It doesn't work. And I'm like, are you a boy or are you a girl? And then we hear nothing. But when they were playing it back during the editing, you could hear it. And he like kept enhancing it to the point. And you could hear this like little kid's voice go, boy. And I was like, everybody in the room was just like, what the fuck? I considered it real evidence. Like, we captured real evidence. And I'm already a believer, so.
Yeah. Did you have a moment in your life that really
I started believing it because we were at police training at this old mental hospital that they turned over to the state at some point and after it closed. So at the end of the state police academy, they take the recruits out there and run them through, like, live scenarios. Like, you got to handle a domestic dispute. And then the role players would all be all of us, the undercover guys, because we look like regular people. So I'm watching the last scenario of the day go down. Two of my friends, one's playing the wife, one's playing the husband. There's a domestic dispute, and the recruits are handling it. And me and five SWAT team guys are just standing in the hallway. And down the corridor, that hallway, halfway through it, there is these big, like, hospital double doors that shut. And they have, like, the push bar thing to open them. But these are locked, and they're chained. So you can see about 4 inches of daylight underneath each door. They don't meet the ground. And then there's big windows at each one of them. So you can see through. And at one point, these doors just start shaking like you were on the other side with a hand on each one of those push bars and just shaking the two doors together as hard as you can for about 10 seconds. And me and all the SWAT guys are just staring at it like, what the fuck is that? And it stops, and we all like lower ourselves to look under the door, like still no shadows, nothing's blocking the beam of light, nothing through the windows, and we just slowly walk up to the door, get up there, and didn't hear anybody run away, nothing there. And I'm like, what? This place is haunted as fuck. I'm not coming back here ever. Like, and it's right in that floor is where the psych ward was, they would put them in there and probably experiment.
Probably a lot
of
good door shaking on the psych ward.
Dude, it's where people were getting electroshock treatment and shit, the old school version of it. And so ever since then, dude, I'm a believer.
I bet if you guys would have poked around a little bit, you would have found some maintenance guy who says, those old doors, there's a fuse out on them. We keep them chained shut. Otherwise, they just open and close all day.
Probably.
Have you ever had a paranormal?
I'm sure at some point. I remember when I was little, I was always scared of there being like a ghost in the basement or something. But I've never flat out seen something. I saw ball lightning when I was a kid, which basically looks like a ghost when it's just sort of floating there.
It's got a weird form to it.
And then it dissipates, so that was kind of wild. But when I got older, I understood what that was a little bit more.
I've never seen that. That's pretty wild.
What about you? Have you ever conjured any spirits to your church?
No, I lived in this old building on the end of the street called Massachusetts Avenue, and it was like built in the 1800s. And I lived on the first floor, but I also had a basement where my bathroom was.
Yeah.
And it used to be a boxing gym back in like the 50s or the 60s.
That's fucking cool.
Yeah, I had a shower that held like 20 dudes, which was gaily awesome. No, it would have held 20 chicks, but I couldn't get any down there. Anyway, I'm down there showering one day, and all of a sudden, like a young MC single that I had starts playing upstairs in my tape deck, which A, my single was not in my tape deck.
So you're down in a giant shower room.
I'm down there naked, just showering away.
In a giant, shower.
In a giant shower by myself. And all of a sudden, music, my stereo comes on and starts playing a Young MC single in my tape deck that wasn't in my tape deck. And
I, are you fucking kidding me?
I scream up. I'm like, who's here? And I immediately turn off the shower. I dry out. I go up into my little loft and I stop it. I'm like, how the fuck did it even get? It wasn't even in the cassette player.
Yeah.
When I was like, it was in like a stack of tapes. I immediately go to my front door. My front door is locked. I go out. It's an apartment building. I go out. There's no cars in the parking lot except for mine. There's no one there.
Holy
it's
shit.
Like a 9-person building. No one there. Uh-huh. But my front door is locked. And I'm like, how the fuck? My friends come home later that day. I'm like, dude, you guys are never going to believe this. And they're like, get the fuck out. Like, how would that happen? I'm like, I don't fucking know how it would happen.
Did you research it afterward see if like the previous resident died of suicide and he happened to be a Young MC cover band guy?
I did so much research. I didn't sleep well for months. And I was telling the story at a party to somebody like 9 months later. And my friends just start fucking laughing their ass off. And I go, what's so fucking funny? And they go, we were headed out to dinner and we could hear your shower was on. Your front door was unlocked. So we just tiptoed in and put that on. And then on the way out, we just locked your door and left. And oh I God. Was like, you motherfucker.
Well,
like,
I knew
for
this.
9 months, I thought I had a gun. Like, I was not sleeping at night. I would, like, there were times I sat up and I go, I know you're here. I'm cool with you. Be cool with me. Like, I know you're here. I don't want any trouble. Like, there were many a night when I had a conversation with my ghost.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers, man. They got me so good.
Well, it had to have been something because this whole ghost story hinges a lot on a guy who rents a loft in an abandoned boxing gym having a very strong recollection of where his cassettes are all the time. It just doesn't.
It wasn't like this maybe it's just, last week.
Maybe it's me going into cop mode here, Todd, but it's not lining up for me.
I can tell you right now, though, if somebody told me they put a studio apartment inside an old boxing gym, I am buying it right now.
Of course you would.
Right now.
That thing had 20-foot ceilings. It was 1,600 square feet, all holy hardwood. Shit. It was the most badass apartment.
Did it smell like boy in there?
Oh, you know
it was back in the 60s. It didn't smell like anything. It smelled like fucking paint. It
smells like boy in here.
All right, question number two is, which comedians influenced you the most to pursue a career in stand-up comedy? Austin, how about you?
Oh, so like I mentioned before, I don't if it was on the official first or the first mistake, whatever one, the 1 year bonus content, check out the Patreon. I don't think we have one of those actually. But I mentioned I grew up with HBO, and so there was all kinds of comedy on there. And believe it or not, my favorite comedians growing up were Martin Lawrence.
Nice.
Sinbad.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Kevin Meaney.
Uh-huh.
He was fantastic on
look
there.
Look at you and, with your big pants on.
Yeah.
We aren't big pants.
What are you
people?
Doing? Yeah. And John Leguizamo, I thought was great.
Dude,
because
I loved him.
I never saw anyone who like just rapid changed characters like that.
Yeah.
Which was pretty great.
He was
great
the first
to see.
I saw that was more like one man show.
Yeah,
production.
It was,
but it was also hilarious.
Yeah, he was very funny. So, but I love Def Comedy Jam when I was growing up. I'd be like second grade.
Yeah,
just left alone. Basically, I'm the youngest. My brothers didn't want to hang out with me.
Uh-huh.
My parents are off, you know, like talking to neighbors, sitting on the back porch, and I'm just inside watching Def Comedy Jam.
Nice.
So yeah, Martin Lawrence was a big one for sure. And then as I got older and like really started getting into comedy, really appreciate like Bill Burr, Roy Scoville.
Yeah.
Is a big
Roy.
One. Yeah.
That's good, Jeff.
Probably starting out, Like, I think Sam Kennison was the first tape I ever had.
Oh, yeah. Like, he had that classic
my,
one,
I'd play my ghetto blaster.
Yeah.
Get him a sandwich! Like, that was a classic bit that, it just took over the world.
And being a Catholic my whole life, like, hearing someone speak about, like, Jesus in that way, like, was just like... Yeah. Oh my God, this guy's
going to hell, everybody. Come check this out.
That's a good callback to what we were talking about before, because he started as a preacher.
Right.
An evangelist. Can you imagine how entertaining he was as an evangelist?
And I believe his father also was.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
A family trade. And then turned to comedian.
Dude,
he had to just sell out church revivals.
Oh.
Everywhere. Can you imagine?
I'm sure.
So those are the ones, like, was there anybody else, like, when you were a kid that really grabbed hold of you?
As much as I hate to admit it, I used to listen to my grandparents' Bill Cosby albums.
We all did, bro.
Back on the big console record player, with the wooden slide top. And but the himself, his just the... I got chocolate cake. I just thought he was...
That is great. Give us chocolate cake. Yeah. I mean, I know he's a horrible human being.
No, Dad gave us cake with Benadryl in it. Molest people. And then when I got older, Jimmy Pardo, I went and saw him live. Yeah. And that was, I was like, I want to do what that guy does.
Pretty
and
incredible. Yeah.
I haven't even gotten close, but
I don't know. I've never seen anything.
It's a whole nother mode.
I mean, that's just a...
Yeah.
It's a tornado. I mean, people laugh so hard for so long, like, they have to take breaks. It's they have to give themselves breaks.
But after the show, you're like, what was so funny? Him.
Yeah, yeah. It's all just it's not boom, 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 boom.
No.
It's hilarious.
And the fact how he has, you know, can remember every single person's name and what they do after he talks to almost a whole crowd and brings it all together is freaking, it's like magic.
Yeah.
It's really, it's like watching magic.
What about you, Todd?
When I was a kid, I was all about Ellen DeGeneres and Seinfeld, pretty much. They were like the king and queen to me of comedy then. And
side note, if you look at Ellen DeGeneres's, I believe it's her first HBO special, her backdrop is the sea, like under the sea. Like with seahorses and fish, and then then she goes on to be Dory, which I thought was crazy. I watched an old special of hers,
crazy,
and I was like, "Holy shit, she's under the sea!" That's
awesome.
Go ahead.
No, that's awesome because I'm a huge Ellen fan.
Like way later,
yeah,
dude, her conversation with God, like that one way conversation where you're just hearing her, brilliant.
I know, dude. You know what? Because she was like. There's a lot of people listening, so I have no idea who this person is, but Bob Newhart back in the day.
Oh, Bob Newhart's amazing.
Could run that two-sided conversation as a bit like nobody's business. Yes. And then when Ellen did that, you had Cosby being Noah on that one album, Talking to God, was pretty good. But Ellen, that really reminded me of, like, it was very Bob Newhart-ish.
Yeah.
And to me, she was the biggest thing ever. And with her in Seinfeld, it's like... The word economy is unprecedented. Like, just saying the most things in the fewest words.
Yep.
Like, no one has done that since. And that, you know, comedy has changed, too. But so I was all about them. And Jake Johansson, believe it or not, because he was all over TV when I was a kid, like in middle school through 10th grade. And he was the first comedian, one of the first comedians that I just knew by name and face, other than the big five album guys like Robin Williams at the time and Cosby and Richard Pryor and... You know, all those. Like, he was the regular, like, late-night TV guy I always saw as a kid.
Did you ever watch An Evening at the Improv? It was on A&E. It was, like, one of the first.
Yeah, I used to watch that.
Mm-hmm. That was great because they would bring people back through again, and then you'd see, and he would be on there. And
oh, dude. He had the big shoulder pads in the suit thing and the crazy hair.
Dude, back then, there was stand-up comedy unlike... Fucking every channel.
Dude,
they were just
so
putting
big.
It like, oh, after Guiding Light.
It's kind of that way now, though. I mean, look, I mean, it's
it
on
is
all the streaming
services now. But, you know, then it was like you didn't have a whole shit ton of channels. Mm-hmm. I'm like in the 80s.
Right.
But stand up comedy was after it hit like 8, 9 o'clock at night, it was all stand up comedy. Everybody had every channel had their own version of live comedy going on.
Yeah.
And it was huge. And then as I get older, or I get into comedy, like I then people like Goleman, Gary Goleman, yep. obviously, and then even Chad Daniels. Like I look up to him a lot. And Chappelle, probably of all the famous people that I look up to the most, I'd say. Like he just always, he's the guy. I'm like, oh, if he could ever get to that, you know. Yeah, but yeah. it's never going to happen. I mean, there's only
well, don't
Jesus.
Say that, Todd. it's Come on
not.
Now.
I mean, it's
why,
not.
Why are you,
Jeff? I think you're going to get there too.
I mean, I can only tell you, I'm not.
Sorry, guys. I have a 1-year-old at home. I believe in everybody right now. I'm so proud of you guys.
Thanks, buddy.
so proud.
I just know I'm nowhere near smart enough to be a Chappelle. Yeah. That dude is.
Yeah,
he's genius. It's so funny, too, because, you know, you guys know I didn't start till I was 38.
Yeah, so. I started when I turned 30 was yeah. when I did my first open mic.
I started when I was 27.
Yeah, oh, I think we really started late. Way late compared yeah. to the
Most
majority
people?
Of
Yeah,
I feel like, though, it was, I mean, obviously you want to start as early as you can, but to a certain degree, you don't have anything to talk about. Really yet.
Oh, my God.
That, I guess I shouldn't say that. I shouldn't
yeah,
say
go
that.
To a, go to your local town open mic and you'll yeah. see what.
I shouldn't say that you can't be funny. I'm not saying that at all. It's just when it comes to like doing shows for general public, if you yeah. don't have anything to connect with them on, then you're lost. So if it's a very young crowd, they're going to love all your White Claw jokes and everything. I mean, they're going to gobble it all up. But yeah. if they're, you know, into their lives, they're just going to be staring at you like, what are you doing? So by being a little bit older and having experienced a little bit more normal life.
It fit the era well for us, I think, mm-hmm. especially for me, because you could do it when you were 16 yeah. back in the day because it was observational humor people mm-hmm. like you're into. So if you were just the best at it, you right. just outrun everybody. Mm-hmm. But now it's like you have to go up there and really give a piece of yourself, and the audiences can smell if it's authentic
yeah,
or,
if
not.
It's fake or not. Yeah.
yeah, and they want to get to know you, and if you're not doing that style of comedy, it's almost like – what are you doing? You're wasting your
Nothing
time.
Nothing pisses me off more than hearing someone do a pot joke that is obviously not a pot smoker.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm over pot jokes just in general.
Uh-huh.
But if I'm like, dude, you don't fucking, like, really? You don't yeah. even, like, you have enough other shit to talk about, nerdy fucking accountant guy. Like, yeah. you don't need to fucking try to be hip with the crowd yeah. by hey. Smoking the reefer. Smoking the reefer, I'm Taco Bell.
You're just giving away the fact that you don't smoke weed very much yeah. right now. Yeah,
I hate.
For you, the weed smoking would just be a setting you're in during the story.
Right.
It's not
there's nothing I hate more than just, oh, God, you fucking hack-ass like,
weed jokes.
Fucking weed person. Like, I don't care that you smoke pot. Fuck it. I got an idea. How about you do some intelligent weed jokes so that people don't think potheads are dumb fucks?
Yeah.
Hey, how about you, like, make potheads look better instead of worse? No, I'm going to fucking play to the lowest common denominator.
So what you need to do is you need to start, like, a THC gum line with Bazooka Joe-style comics that are actually clever.
It'd be all Mitch Hedberg jokes.
Yeah, well, basically it would be. Well,
if you brought any with Hedberg you, meet me in the parking lot after a show. yeah, yeah. That thing wears me
out. Oh, that's...
God, I hear that one more time. Yeah. Well, this has been fun, guys. Second episode, Fun Town. It's out. Check out Docheads. It's our sister podcast. Comes out on Tuesdays. If you're not listening to that and you listen to this, you'll probably also like that. It's kind of like this, but we're talking about documentaries. And then 1041, when this comes out, I can't even tell you what the next episode is going to be like. It's in transition right now. We'll figure it out as it goes. But thanks for listening. Make sure you check out Austin's comedy schedule. If you're not following him, at Austin Real Comedy on Instagram, at Austin Real on Twitter, at Jeff Oskay, Oskay on Instagram and Twitter.
Fucking noisemaker.
Perfect. We'll talk to you next week.